And well, God's been good to us. It's hard to believe this is the last Sunday here on 18. Amen. Next Sunday, moving over to Lakeland Drive. We are excited about it. And I tell you what, the more we get in the building and the more we're moving stuff in and the more we're over there praying and just walking through it, you can sense that God's going to do some things. It's our next wealthy place. And I tell you what, God's been good to us here. And, you know, someone was asking me, well, what's the emotion process like? Are you sad? You know, is it bittersweet? All of those things. And I'll be honest with you, there's more gratitude than anything else. Yeah, I'm grateful. I'm grateful to the Lord for what He's done here. I'm grateful to Him for what all the miracles that we've seen and bodies being touched and healed and marriages coming back together and visions and dreams being imparted and all of those wonderful things, the spirit of faith being caught. I'm grateful for it. But I'm also grateful and excited about what God is going to do. Amen. You know, I'm a firm believer that God doesn't move you down. But when He moves you, it's to increase you from glory to glory, from faith to faith. And so while it's been good here, that just means it's going to be that much better over there on Lakeland Drive. And so we're excited about it. The building is coming together just wonderfully. We're going to put our grass out. So is that dirt and all that when you enter in the building? So that I think we're putting out sod and all that tomorrow. And we're going to get it spruced up and prettied up and got most of our interiors done, still cleaning here or there. But I tell you what, it looks great. And I went and heard the praise and worship team rehearse on Thursday night. And I tell you what, that sound system is worth every single penny we spent on it. We're excited about it, and we trust you are too. Can't wait to see you next Sunday. Don't forget there's no midweek service this week. We got the week to prep and still some things we have to do. And so we're going to take off this Wednesday, but we're going to pick up right where we left off next Sunday and have a blast out there on Lakeland. Go over, if you will, to the book of Psalms, chapter 66. And while you're turning there, we'll pray. Father, we come before You. We thank You, Lord, for all that You're doing. We thank You, Lord, that Your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Father, we thank You in Jesus' name that Your Holy Spirit helps us like He's done so many times before in this place. Helps us hear and listen. Helps us teach and preach. Thank You, Father, I'm not up here in my own strength. But I'm up here doing it according to Your Spirit and operating by Him. Think through my mind, speak through my lips. Father, let my tongue be the pen of a ready writer, ready to write the Word of God upon the hearts of Your sons and Your daughters. Father, give me grace to speak, and we'll be faithful to say all that You're telling us to say, and we'll be faithful to do all that You're telling us to do, and we'll be faithful to give You all the praise and all the glory for it, for You and You alone are worthy of the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Thursday, I'd sat down with my laptop, and I typed out a message, and the title was The Last Message on 18. And I typed out the top three things that I felt like I had learned in this place. And there were so many to pick from that really it wasn't a top three. It was just three, I guess, that were standing out to me in the moment. And I typed it all out, and I realized after I had done typing it and gotten done with it, that it was more a reflection than a message. There was no unction to it, no kick to it, no punch. I mean, it was just words on a page for someone to read. Definitely not words to say. And so I want it to be sentimental and laugh and cry and all that kind of good stuff and, you know, reflect on memories. But I tell you what, the Lord just told me to preach the Word. So we're going to do that. And I can't think of any better way to end out a service or end out a facility than teaching the Word in it. Psalms chapter 66 and verse 12. Psalms 66 and verse 12. It's talking here about the children of Israel. And their journey from bondage in Egypt through the promised land, through the wilderness, all the way to the promised land. In fact, let's go up and read in verse 10. It says, "For Thou, O God, hast proved us." Does God prove you? "For Thou, O God, hast proved us. Thou hast tried us as silver is tried. Thou broughtest into the net, thou layest affliction upon our loins. Thou hast caused men to ride over our heads. We went through fire and went through water." And let's just stop right here. You know, that doesn't sound too pleasant of scriptures. But think about the children of Israel going through the wilderness. Was it God doing those things to them? No. What was God doing? God was making water come from rocks. God was a cloud by day because it was hot, fire by night because it was cold. When they fell into bondage, when bad things happened, it was because of them murmuring and complaining and griping and doing the polar opposite of what God said to do. And so this scripture is very interesting because I love how it ends. It doesn't end with these people goofing up, but watch how it ends. You brought us through fire, through water, but thou brought us out into a wealthy place. Isn't it good to know that we can go through things, even of our own doing, but God still bring us into a wealthy place? I tell you what, this scripture, it's been big in me these last couple of weeks. A wealthy place. There's a wealthy place for you. There is. There's a wealthy place for you. There's a wealthy place. And I'm telling you what, the more I reflect on this, the more even I say it, it just gets bigger in me. There's a wealthy place for every one of you. There's a wealthy place. This word wealthy, it's very interesting. It means natural material wealth. In fact, it means running over. But the predominant definition in the Hebrew, the Old Testament is written in Hebrew, New Testament is written in Greek. The predominant definition is satisfaction. One translation says, thou brought us into rich fulfillment. A place of satisfaction. A place of rich fulfillment. A place, you could put it this way, where life is full. There's a place like that for you. Now this word place is very interesting. It's a twofold meaning. The first meaning is an actual physical location, a natural spot, a natural place. There is a natural physical location for you. You know, we get, my niece, you know, she goes to school and, you know, they're doing college and career days. And you got all these people trying to sell you on what you should do in life. What colleges you should go to. And you got all these choices. Well, friends, that's good. It's good to get educated. It's good to, you know all your options. But friends, you could try to think through any place to go to college or what job or what type of profession you want to learn. But there is something God's called you to do. There's a college God's called you to go to. There's a place He's called you to live. There's an apartment He wants you to live in. There's a home that's your wealthy place. An actual physical location. An actual physical job. A wealthy place. A place of fulfillment. And so many people, they don't ever take the time to search their heart to see if they're in the right place naturally. This place, this word place, its first meaning is a natural physical location. The second definition is the word condition. Now, this is interesting. It's dealing with the inward part of man. So it's not just a natural physical spot. That's part of the truth, but it's not the whole truth. It's also a condition of heart. I'll give it to you this way. The book of Isaiah says the willing and the obedient do what? They eat the good of the land. Well, willingness is dealing with the inward part of man. The obedience is dealing with the outward part of man. We gave the illustration last week of that man who was in healing school. Good man. I mean, on the inside, he was just right. Had a good spirit about him. Just a good man. But he never got in the right physical location. He said, you know, when I was in my 20s, I knew God called me to Africa. I mean, I knew He did. I knew it in my heart I was supposed to go there. I was convinced of it, but he never went. And here he is in his 60s. He's a good man. He's walking with the Lord. Got a special countenance about him. But life's been a struggle for him. Why? He never got in the right physical location. But then on the other hand, I heard Brother Hagin tell a story about how he was pastoring his church and things had never been better. I mean, he had the best parsonage he had ever lived in. The church was growing like it had never grown. He was experiencing more success than he had ever experienced before. But on the inside, he could sense something's changing. Something's moving. It's like Elijah at the brook of Cherith. Something's moving. The brook is drying up and God's moving me to someplace else. And so he sought the Lord about it. On the inside, he knew something needs to change. Well, when he sought the Lord about it, the Lord told him to go out into traveling ministry. And so he did. He was obedient. And naturally, he got in the right space. I mean, he moved his family from that place, went out on the road. He's gone to all the churches the Lord is telling him to go into. But everything is a struggle. I mean, everything. And he knows in his heart he's doing what God told him to do. He's being obedient. He's in the right physical location. He's going to the right churches. He moved out of the wrong place and he's in the right place naturally, the right physical location. But things aren't clicking like he knows they should. So he took it up with the Lord, and that's something you always should do. If things aren't clicking with the right and things aren't flowing, take it up with the Lord. Don't just sit there and have them not click. No, take it up with the Lord. And so he did. He took it up with the Lord. And the Lord, and basically the scripture he gave the Lord was that scripture in Isaiah, the willing and the obedient eat the good of the land. And he said, Lord, I'm out here doing what you told me to do. But I'm definitely not eating the good of the land. My kids aren't wearing the good of the land. We're not living in the good of the land. We're not driving the good of the land. And the Lord said, the problem is you don't qualify. He said, Lord, you've hit me with a low blow. I can hear him saying it now. You've hit me with a low blow. What do you mean I don't qualify? He said, you were obedient, but you haven't been willing. Your heart is still pastoring that church. See, his was inward. For that other man in healing school, it was outward, a physical location. For Brother Hagin, it was something needed to change on the inside. For that other man, it was something needed to change on the outside. But here's what I'm getting at. There is a wealthy place for you. I mean a place that's running over, where life is just flat out full. And it doesn't mean you're not facing things. It doesn't mean that things don't come your way. But things are just right. Have you ever been there and it's just right? And have you ever been on the other side of that where something's not right? And you can tell there's resistance and it just seems like things are a struggle and something's not right and something needs to change. Friends, there's a wealthy place. And so, it's either one of the two things. Either one, there's a place that needs to change in the natural. Or two, God's been dealing with you about something to change inwardly. Could be an attitude, could be an action, could be a habit, could be a behavior. Could be worry, could be fear, could be strife. Could be making a little adjustment here. Could be, I heard this other lady called up a friend of mine and she said, you know, the Lord's been talking to me. She's a new Christian. I mean, just new Christian. And so he was, you know, this was the type of lady who'd go into a restaurant, things weren't right, cuss everybody out in the place and not think twice about it. And she got born again. And so she's fresh convert. I mean, she was complete sinner and now she's given her life to Christ, but she's learning this way of the Lord. And so he was saying that when she said, the Lord's been talking to me about doing something, he was nervous. He got real nervous, you know, wondering what in the world is she hearing from the Lord about? And she said, the Lord's been dealing with me to honor my husband. He's been dealing with me to honor my husband. And so they talked about it. It was genuine. It was genuine. Well, what's the Lord doing? He's positioning her. He's moving her into her place. And when she makes those adjustments, there's going to be a new satisfaction, a new fullness in life. Well, whatever the Lord's dealing with you about. It's the same type of deal. It's not just instruction, friend. It's not just a leading or a witness. It's God positioning you, moving you over into your wealthy place. Well, how do you know if you're in your wealthy place or not? How do you know? Well, it's pretty clear for me from Scripture. One, there'll be resistance. There'll be things in the natural that you're going through that you know you shouldn't be going through. I'll give you an example. David, you remember when he fell into sin with Bathsheba? You know, why did that happen? It wasn't just lust. But if you read that whole scripture, it starts out with, at a time when kings go out to battle. But then right after that, it talks about David sending his people out to battle, but him staying at the castle. Had he never been at the castle, he never would have seen Bathsheba. He never would have went through what he went through. So when you're in the wrong place, you're going to go through things you never should have gone through and you wouldn't have gone through had you been in the right place. So in the natural, there's going to be more resistance. But secondly, and this is perhaps the most predominant, is you'll know on the inside something's not right. This is what's been interesting to me. You know, we've been teaching on this, pride and humility. If you walk in pride, you get resistant. You walk in humility, you get lifted, you get more grace, all of those things. What is pride? It's not submitting to the Lord's way, but doing your own thing. What's humility? It's retiring from your way and yielding to the way of the Lord. And so people, it's been really fascinating. I've taught on these things before, but I've been getting a lot of phone calls, emails, people coming up to me at the end of service asking, how do you know? I know I need to get in my right place, but I don't know what needs to change or what needs to be tweaked. And so I'll start talking to them about how to be led by the Spirit of God, how to know. And so the more I talked on it, more light started coming to me about the subject. And then all throughout this week, the Lord's been dealing with me about this and showing me new light on scriptures that I've known for years. And the more I can see from scripture and the more light comes, the more I see everybody knows who's born again what they need to do. You know. You may not want to admit you know, but you know. I'll put it to you this way. You can take a born-again Christian who's completely backslidden. I mean flat living in sin. I mean he's doing all the things you shouldn't do. And if you really get down to it, he knows he shouldn't be doing those things. In his heart, he knows. On the other side, you could take a sinner who doesn't know, who has never, ever gotten born again, his spirit's not made alive unto Christ, and he can live in sin for years and have no leading to get out of it. Why? His spirit's not made alive unto Christ. But for a Christian, when you're born again, you cannot tell me you don't know. We know. And friends, I'm telling you, let's look at scripture. Don't just believe me. Look at scripture. Go to the book of John. We'll start in John chapter 10 and then we'll work through here. Friend, I'm telling you, you know what to do. John chapter 10. You know what to do. In your heart, you know what to do. And sometimes you say, well, I don't know to do anything. That's still a knowing. Well, I'm not getting any leading to do anything. Then don't do anything. That is the leading. It was, I was telling first service, there was a businessman, he lives in another state, and his business, I mean, it's just growing, and he's running out of room at the place where he's at, and he's looking to build a new headquarters. And so we were up there and we're good friends and we were going through all these different places where he was looking to build, and he was asking me what I thought. And so I was giving him all the natural reasons of why I thought this was good and all those kinds of things. But I said, honestly, I can't say thus saith the Lord. And I knew that was kind of what he was looking for. You know, he wanted, I just sense this is where you need to be. And I knew he was kind of looking for that. And so I couldn't go that direction. But, you know, I just was giving him natural things. Well, this week as I was praying, the Lord was showing me some of those things. The Lord said, he'll know. He'll know. And if he doesn't know, tell him not to do anything. But when he comes across the right place, he'll know. And it's the exact truth. If you're not getting any leading, any witness about that relationship, then don't get into it. You don't act on maybe. You know, this is interesting. You remember over there with Abraham? They wanted babies for a long time, him and his wife Sarah. I mean a long time. And finally, they came up with this idea. It was Sarah's idea that, Abraham, why don't you sleep with my servant Hagar? She's younger, and she may be able to give us some seed here on the earth. And she used the word may several times. It may be that through this, God will do da-da-da-da-da, and it may be da da. And I was reading that. I said, you know, there's a whole lot of may there. Well, this may work. Well, that may be good. Friends, there is nothing about walking with the Lord that is a maybe. It is you know. And unless you know, you don't do anything. And so they acted on that. It may work. And it led to disaster. That child and that mother Hagar eyed Sarah and Isaac for the rest of their life because of that one decision. It may work. If you don't know it will work, don't do it. You know, okay, John chapter 10. And let's look here in verse 27. I'm going to take you through a couple of scriptures here. John 10 and verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. They hear my voice. Not I want them to. They hear. Go over to John chapter 16. I'm going to take you through some real quick here. John chapter 16, verse 13. John 16 and verse 13. Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you. Not pray that he will. Not go down to the altar and ask that he will. No, he will guide you. As a Christian, the Holy Spirit will guide you. He will lead you into all truth. He will not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. This is not a maybe. This is something he will do. Go to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And let's look at some scriptures here in the book of Romans. Romans chapter 8, and let's look in verse 14. Romans 8 and verse 14. Watch what he says in Romans 8, 14. It says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. What are sons of God getting? Leadings. Sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. Go down to verse 16. The Spirit itself, should be translated himself, beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. If you're born again, his Spirit will bear witness with your spirit. If you are a son of God, a child of God, you will be led by the Spirit of God. He will show you things to come. Go over the book of 1 John, little John. 1 John, and while we're turning to that, if on the screens you can go to that scripture in the Amplified we looked at first service, Colossians 3 and verse 15 on the screens in the Amplified. In the book of 1 John, we're going to chapter 2, and we're going to look at verse 20. 1 John 2 and verse 20. And then on the screens, if you can go to Colossians chapter 3 and verse 15 in the Amplified. Watch this in 1 John 2 and 20. But you have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. Do you know what job to take? According to this, you do. How do you know? An unction. Do you know who you should marry? Yeah. According to this, you do. You know if you should or you shouldn't. How? The unction. Well, what does this word unction mean? It doesn't mean voice from heaven. It doesn't mean, Sims, thus saith the Lord, go over here and accept that job. No. This word, there's no shaking, there's no rattling, there's none of that. This word unction means rubbing. You've got a rubbing. a rubbing. What's that rubbing doing? It's telling you what you need to do. Most of the time, God doesn't speak in big, bold sentences. It's yes or no. You're going over here. Should I do that? No. No, don't send that text. You're getting ready to send it, and something on the inside just saying, I shouldn't tell them that. You're getting ready to send that email. Something on the inside just saying, no. Getting ready to say that to that person. Something's pulling on your heart. Don't say that. No. Then you get over and there's another unction and it's a, yeah, that seems good. There's peace on the inside. Well, what do? You back off when you hear that, something's not right. And you move with peace. That's your unction. That, my friends, is your safest guide. It'll never lead you astray. It'll never lead you into trouble. Why? It's His spirit bearing witness with your spirit. A witness. A little poke. A little prick. But you know. Notice this in Colossians 3 and verse 15. I love this in the Amplified. And let the peace, the soul harmony, which comes from Christ, rule, act as an umpire continually in your hearts, deciding and settling with finality. This is the final decision. Once you know peace is there, it is the final decision. You don't need to ask anybody else about it. You don't need to ask other people's opinion. You don't need to ask them, what would you do if you were in my set of circumstances? No. You let that peace rule, settle every question that arises in your mind with finality, all the questions that arise in your mind in that peaceful state. What's he saying? It's another word for that unction. It's another word for witness. It's another word for what he says over there in Acts chapter 15 and verse 25. It seems good. Peace. That unction, when it's God, there's peace. There's a peace there. I say this. There's an innate smoothness. Donald G. put it this way. He said, think of a railroad cars going down a railroad track. As long as it's on those tracks, there's an innate smoothness. He said it can go through tunnels, it can go through dark places, it can go through trees on every side, it can go through storms. But as long as it's on those tracks, there's a smoothness. But he said you could have perfect conditions on the outside. Sun is shining, no tunnels, no storms. But if that train gets off its tracks, no one has to wonder whether or not it did. And it's the same thing with your spirit on the inside. When you're walking with God, there's an innate smoothness there. You know it's God. I never will forget a couple of years ago, I woke up one morning, I knew to build that new church. I knew now was the time. I knew it. In my heart, I knew it. It was an innate smoothness. I didn't have to talk myself into it. It was an innate smoothness. And then when it's not there, you know it's not there. It's like a hesitation on the inside. It's a clamor on the inside. Something's not right. I don't know what it is, but something's not right about this. I don't know, but I'm getting ready to make that investment, but yeah, something's not right. I don't know why, but it looks good to buy the house, but something's not right. I don't know, it's just something not right. I don't need to be around them. Well, what is that? That's the unction trying to teach you all things. He's trying to get you over into your wealthy place. Well, why don't people yield to it? Why don't people yield to it? Well, the truth of it is our flesh and our minds get tied to things. They do. They get tied to things. They get tied to people. They get tied to places. They get tied to ways of living, ways of thinking, ways to talking. And God, when He's dealing with us, He'll prompt us to change. Change those habits. Change the way we're talking to people. Change the way we think about people. Change the way we think about money. Change the way we think about all of these other things. Change locations. Change relationships. And with all of that change, it gets uncomfortable. And your flesh and your mind will scream, "I don't want to do that." And anyone who says submission is easy is lying. It is not easy. I told first service, a lady came down to me after service. And she said, "You know what? I've agreed with everything with my husband up to this point. But on this, we just don't agree and I can't submit." I said, "Lady, you haven't been walking in submission. You've been walking in agreement." When two people see eye to eye on something, that's agreement. Submission comes into play when you see something differently than he sees it. That is the nature of submission. And that's not easy for anybody. Submission is, I have something I want to do, but someone else wants me to do it another way. So I retire from my will and yield to theirs. And that's not easy. On your flesh, that is not easy. And so when you're walking with the Lord, that unction will come, that leading will come, that peace will come about making a change. And your flesh has to decide whether or not it will yield from what it wants you to do and do what God wants you to do. If you do what God wants you to do, you get over into your wealthy place. A place of fullness. A place of peace. Let me give you a scripture. I'll close with this. Go to Genesis chapter 22. Chapter 22. Abraham was a man who walked with God. He was. And he missed it with Hagar there. They should have known better. But that's one of the things I like about the Bible. It shows the imperfections of people. And it just makes you see, man, if God can use them. Amen. But Abraham was a man who walked with the Lord. And on this one particular occasion, God's going to test Abraham to see if he's really submitted to him. To see if he will. And watch what happens here. Oh, you know this was tied to his flesh. Genesis 22 and verse 1. And it came to pass that after these things that God did tempt or test Abraham. And said unto him, Abraham, and he said, "Behold, here I am." And he said, "Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering." Notice this, I never noticed this until this week, this next phrase. "Upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of." Don't go to any mountain. There's a particular mountain I want you to go to. So he's telling him, "I want you to make this sacrifice." It's the sacrifice of what he loves the most. He's seeing, are you more tied to this or are you more tied to me? Well, you know the story. Abraham arises up the next morning. And watch this in verse 3. Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up, watch this next phrase, and went unto the place of which God had told him. Notice he said, "I'll tell you a specific mountains. There's any number of mountains you can choose to make this sacrifice, but I'll tell you the one you should go to." Well, Abraham was led to that mountain, to the right place. So Abraham goes up to the mountain to worship. You know the story. He takes Isaac, puts him up there, and they've got the wood and they got the fire, but Isaac's looking around and he's saying, "Where in the world is the sacrifice?" And Abraham answers, "The Lord himself shall provide one." And you know the story. He puts Isaac up there. He's getting ready to do it, man. He's getting ready to do the will of God, to step out and do what God's telling him to do. And an angel calls unto him. And he tells him to stop. And watch this in verse 11. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." And he said, "Here am I." And he said, "Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that hast not withheld thine son, thine only son, from me." And Abraham lifted up his eyes, looked, and behold, behind him, a ram was caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram, offered him up a burnt offering in the stead of his son. Now watch this in verse 14. This is where I'm getting at. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh. What does Jehovah Jireh mean? The Lord who will see and provide. The Lord our provider. Where did God reveal to him provision? Any number of mountains. I'll show you which one to go to. When Abraham went to the right mountain, that's where that ram was. Any other mountain, there wouldn't have been a ram caught up with the thicket. It was on that mountain, on that place. Why haven't people been seeing the provision God wants them to see? There's a place, a wealthy place. Abraham found his many times. Every time God told him to move, he moved. And buddy, I'm telling you, God blessed him for it. He made him a rich man, not just with material wealth, but in every arena of life. Why? He was always in the right place. Spiritually and naturally, he aligned his life to match God's. Friends, I'm telling you, God's got a wealthy place for you, a place of satisfaction and fullness, a place that's rich on every side. It was pre-planned for you before birth. He planned it, a plan to prosper you and to give you a hope and a future. How do you get to that? You follow that peace. You follow that witness. You follow that unction. If it tells you to stop and hold up, you stop and hold up. If it tells you to move, you move.